The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Well, we made it to March, and you know what that means. The madness of the month is underway, and especially in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, where they celebrated an SEC basketball championship over the weekend. Those things don't happen very often, but maybe they'll start happening with regularity with the Crimson Tide, who wrapped it up in Starkville and then headed home to a wild celebration. And we begin the month of March, which includes basketball tournaments and obviously the NCAA tournament, with the man of the moment, Nate Oates, the head basketball coach at the University of Alabama. Coach, first of all, too many congratulations in terms of a new deal and the SEC, but I know you're happy with the way the season's gone. Thanks for being here.
No, thanks for having me. This is the first time I've been on to open, so I haven't got to see the opening. You've been in quite a few interesting spots there in that open, Paul. Like to tag along for a day or a week.
It marks a long career, Coach. But none probably as exciting as winning the SEC championship. We'll start there. I know what's ahead. There's still some games left. There's still a conference and obviously the NCAA tournament. But describe the feeling Saturday night to bring home the title to Tuscaloosa.
I mean, it was great. It's been 19 years. You know, we've got three seniors that are from the state of Alabama that came here as freshmen that, you know, they're kind of got to the end here and they've won the thing. So, you know, Herb Jones and John Petty and Alex Reese, I was really fired up for them. And just to see the emotions with them and how fired up they were to win it and know we clinched it. And they hadn't won at Mississippi State. That was their first win in Starkville. So, you know, there was a lot that went into that. I thought that was the hardest we'd played on the defensive end quite some time. So you could just tell how bad they wanted it. And then the final horn sounds and we win it and they kind of celebrate on the floor. And then going back in the hallway and I can hear music going, the players are dancing. It was pretty cool. I was glad I could be a small part of what they were able to accomplish this year as seniors.
I know as coaches, there's little time for celebration now. There's still a couple of games left and then the tournament next week in Nashville and then the big dance. How do you compartmentalize all that for the team in terms of, we've done this, but we don't want to leave it there?
Well, I don't think we've been playing particularly well. So my thing, you know, Sunday, Saturday, enjoy it. We got back, bus pulls up, and there's hundreds of people out waiting for us outside of Coleman. So that was really cool. You know, let them enjoy Saturday night. When we met back Sunday, it was more of a, all right, listen, we got that off our backs. We've won it. We've clinched it. Let's get back to playing some good basketball like we were a few weeks ago, you know, back in January even. So we just got to focus on what we got to get better at. Our offensive side of the ball hasn't been very good here lately. So kind of just working to be the best team we can be, get back to where our offense was in January and see if we can't, you know, get on a run going into the SEC tournament. We got two games left. Got the big rival game with Auburn tomorrow, and then we got at Georgia Saturday, and then we got the SEC tournament. So we've got a limited number of games left in some of these guys' career, a limited number of games for the season, and what's become a really special season for us. So let's get back to playing our best basketball right now.
And I know this is the issue at hand, but how do you, when you're a shooting team and you're living and dying by outside three-pointers, how do you get back to where you were?
Yeah, I think, we do take a lot of threes. Somebody sent me something. I think we've made the second most threes in the country this year. But we also get to the rim a lot. We haven't been finishing at the rim like we need to. We finished about 40% at the rim against Mississippi State. So we got to get back to finishing layups at the rim when we do drive. That would take a little pressure off making the threes. I think we got to, you know, some of our shooters are passing up open shots. You know, Petty's one of the best shooters in the country. He can't pass up any more open shots. Shackelford, Primo, Quinterly, like they just need to take them in rhythm. And, you know, if we get a paint touch and the defense collapse and we kick the ball out, we just want our guys shooting it without thinking. The other thing is we can get a few more offensive rebounds. You know, you relieve a little pressure if you can go get some of your misses and put them back in. So I think and then we've been turning the ball over too much too. If we at least get a shot up every time, that relieves a little bit of the pressure of having to make every shot too. So our offense was flowing really well at times in January, it looked great. We've had a few games in February where it looked pretty good, but I think it's there. We just got to get our confidence back, get back playing well on that side of the ball.
Talking to Coach Nate Oates after celebrating the big win, I think it's important, as you said, to celebrate. But, Coach, is it these two games in one bucket? Is it one game at a time? Because when a team has already accomplished what Alabama has done, it seems like it takes forever to get to where you really want to go, and that's the NCAA basketball tournament. How do you pace everything out?
Yeah, so I kind of talked to, you know, we had a chance to clinch it at Arkansas, and they're playing great basketball. I think they've won 9 in a row. So, you know, we went there, didn't get it done there. I thought the big picture of winning the SEC championship became too overwhelming. And we just weren't focused on what we had to do to win this next game. So after that Arkansas game, I just said, any championships, all that stuff takes care of itself if we just go 1-0 the rest of the year. So that's kind of been our theme. Let's just go 1-0. So we went 1-0 against Mississippi State. Now we need to go 1-0 against Auburn. So I don't think you can coast to the end. I think you got to push hard, get playing back, you know, like we were. You know, you look at, I mean, this is not the NBA, but you look at the NBA bubble. The Bucks had the best record coming in. I think they kind of coasted in the playoffs a little bit, maybe rested some guys. I don't want to do that in these last two games. I want to push hard, try to get back to our main group playing as hard and as well as they can be playing. Let's just go 1-0 against Auburn. Let's not even think about Georgia until Auburn's done. You know, we'll have a day off after Auburn when we come back Thursday. Let's just go 1-0 against Georgia. And I think if you get that mindset, the end result will take care of itself.
I know I'm getting way ahead of myself, but do you do the same thing when you have a tournament like the one in Nashville?
The players have to. My message to the players from the head coach has to. The assistants have to work way ahead. You know, we'll know who our first game, you know, it'll be one of two opponents, so we'll have to prep for both. And with the players, we won't know who that is till the day before, so we'll have to do a little bit of prep for two teams. But then, you know, it's just play Friday, play Saturday, play Sunday, and just got to prep. You know, and it'll be a team we've played already, obviously, unless we'd happen to play Texas A&M. But, you know, so we'll have to do a quick turnaround on that. When I was we didn't get the chance playing the SEC tournament last year. It got canceled. But when I was at Buffalo, we won 3 out of those 4. So felt like we did a pretty good job prepping our guys for that. And I think we'll do that. The assistants, GAs, all the support staff, they got to work ahead. Me as a head coach and the players, we got to stay focused on the one right in front of us. That's kind of my philosophy on that.
Coach, if I could go back a couple of days, it was announced that you had been given an extension, really after just a couple of years, a very brief period, but a very successful run as well. Can we go back to that moment and just talk about how you felt about this? And you were pretty unequivocal about wanting to leave this university. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you gave the impression that you were in this thing for a long time.
Yeah, I think, I mean, they put the payout, the buyout, you know, the guarantee and the buyout both high, which is great. You know, it protects me and it protects them. I really didn't care when Greg came to me and said, you know, we're going to leave the buyout high. It says, is it great? Like, I don't plan on leaving. I really don't care how high it is. I'm not going to leave. I have, 8 years ago, I was a high school math teacher, Paul, so I don't have enough money to pay the buyout anyway. So I'm not planning on going anywhere. We love it here. We've proved you can win here. They've got all the resources you need to win here. I've got 3 young daughters. There's no reason to be moving your family around when you found a place you love. I love working with the staff I've got. The players have been good. There's no reason, you know, the grass is not always greener somewhere else. Maybe they've won more championships and more games than some programs elsewhere. There's no reason we can't elevate this program to a place where it is a destination job. We can make it that. So it was, you know, very nice of Greg Byrne to give me an extension so you get a little more job security, and appreciate it. It's been great working with him, and for him, and the administration here is great. But I think you know how it works, you know, and with our athletic, football's been winning at a high level here. They're all into winning, and they want to win in in every sport. It's not just football. I mean, they win national championships, I think, in six different sports. So I think they're dedicated, and, you know, they want winning programs in all of them. So we've proven we can win, and they want us here, and I want to be here for a long time.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Well, Coach, congratulations on that and the championship. I do remember the last time, and it's... It seemed like a couple of lifetimes ago that Alabama last won a national championship. You be well. You take care of yourself. And thank you for coming on. We always enjoy having you.
No, I appreciate you having me on, Paul. I enjoy listening to your show. And sometime I tagged along. I did a shadow with Coach Saban for a day. I'm going to do you for a week to see if I can't jump in a few of those spots you had. It looks like fun. Like it'd be fun.
Well, so. I would love nothing more for you to do that. We will make that happen after you cut the nets down in about 5 weeks. Hey, thanks, Coach. Good luck this week and next week, and obviously, and we'll hope to talk to you again before we get to the NCAA tournament.
Thanks, Paul. Roll Tide.
You got it. Wow, what a great guy and a great guest. And remember the first time we talked to him, you could tell the guy was laser focused, and the results have come very, very quickly for the Crimson Tide. We will be back. A lot to do. We'll update you on where we are on this Monday, the first day of March. Yes, March is here, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back here on a Monday afternoon, and a great start with Nate Oates. A lot of other things are going on, and we will get to your phone calls in just a moment. We want to share a little bit with you as we get this show underway here. Alabama, this is according to AL.com and Michael Casagrande, saving money on the new football hires. Does anyone really believe that? Well, let's give you the evidence here. In this financially conscious world of ours, that's a breakdown. They're saving $1.4 million on the OC now. Could be that the person they brought in is still being paid by his former job. And another coach from the NFL who's still getting some money. So I'm not sure what all this really means, but what can I do? I'm just a guy that pushes buttons here and plays the records on the afternoon shift. Dan Mullen is in the news over the weekend, and he had some interesting things to say about who will take Kyle Trask's place at quarterback.
We put an awful lot on the quarterback, and so you got to be ready. You know, I mean, you're one play away from that guy being the starter, and being the starter at Florida is a great responsibility. And within our system, it's a great responsibility for our success. So I think everybody, you always know, I always want to have multiple guys ready. You know, we'll play multiple guys early in the season, whoever the starter is, just so that guys are ready to play like we always do.
Dan Mullen in Gainesville about the Gators' chances. Meanwhile, what are we going to do here today? Well, we've already had the SEC champion on in basketball. Andy Staples joining us a little bit later on. Jim Ross, the legend, will be with us at the midpoint of the show. And Seth Greenberg, the college basketball aficionado, later about the rest of the Wii and the NCAA tournament coming up. 2 weeks from now, the brackets will be out. We are that close. So, meanwhile, we'll get this on a little bit later. I just saw the new baseball rankings. Commissioner Sankey tweeted something asking if this had ever happened before. Have you seen the new baseball rankings? Top four teams, all from one league. Anyone like to take a guess? More on that later on. Let's get to the calls at 855-242-7285 and check out who got here. How about Jimmy is up next. Well, he's first. Jimmy, go right ahead.
I would guess, Paul, that would probably be SEC.
You've got a mighty good guess there, Jimmy. I mean, it's yeah, it's real. I'm going to go over the whole list in a second. It's really pretty remarkable. And I realize it's early, but it's never too early to get excited here. But
can I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
If you've been watching SEC hoops, there's no doubt you've seen the slide in the balls in Rick Barnes's outfit. Would you compare Barnes to the having sort of like that Holly Ward syndrome?
Well, let me say the difference between Rick Barnes' situation and Holly Warlick's is that Holly Warlick was replacing maybe the greatest coach in college women's basketball history, and Rick Barnes was not. So he came in and what I thought and built a great program. He had the team number one in the country a couple of years ago. The problem is it's just what I hear. And again, I don't live in Knoxville, but I have a few friends that do. I think there's a little bit of a rub there about 2 years ago when he was flirting with UCLA and then he got a new contract. And last year, you know, we never really quite saw the results, although it was going to be a little bit of a down year anyway. And this year they were picked to finish first in the SEC and have struggled. I watched a game against Auburn the other day, and they just never seem to make the – I don't know if it's the players or it's the coach. I tend to think it's the coach sometimes. They never seem to make the right changes at the right time. What do you see?
I say you hit the nail on the head. He won't take no responsibility, Paul. Yeah.
Well, I am not close enough to it to offer a strong opinion, Jimmy, but I know what my friends think, and they are none too happy with some of his in-game coaching.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. And by the way, I mean, Tennessee's still going to the tournament, but I just think and maybe they'll get on a run, and this conversation will be moot. By the way, I mentioned the new baseball poll is out. Arkansas is number one, Vanderbilt two, Mississippi State three, Ole Miss four, Florida six, LSU 11, South Carolina is 14, Tennessee 18. That's pretty impressive, would you say? Let's get to the calls at 855-242-7285. And Bill is up next in Tennessee. Hey, Bill, thanks. Great to have you on.
Afternoon, Paul. I want to know your opinion on how Tennessee's new football coach would handle playing SEC teams.
Well, I don't know yet. I know that there's a lot of conversation about a couple of quarterbacks that got away, but I will defend Coach Heupel in this regard. He's still it's still very early on. You know, any player you lose when you've only been there 4 weeks, you can hardly take the entire responsibility. A lot of damage has been done, although one of those players, many people believe, would have gone to Tennessee had Jeremy Pruitt taken over. I mean, there's a lot of negativity in that program right now, and he has to do a good job of threading the needle and being honest with players about the current situation, but also finding a way to make them believe in the future.
Well, if he doesn't make it, and they hire another coach, that'd be five straight coaches they've had in just a little while.
Well, let's remember one thing, Bill, and I know you do. He hasn't coached a game yet. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Jamie, who is up next. Hey, Jamie, thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. A pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you.
Man, what a crazy time we've got. Alabama's winning basketball championships, North Dakota State's losing football games, and there's quality NBA basketball being played in Madison Square Garden. What is going on in the world?
It's pretty amazing on all fronts. Yeah, the football loss over the weekend, I know that was noteworthy. I think it had been 29 games, but I'm not getting nearly as upset about a loss on the final day of February as I would on the final day of maybe November.
No, totally agreed. It's some amazing – hats off to Coach Oates. I mean, he's obviously done an incredible job and as good as was advertised. And listening to his breakdown, it sounded like he was analyzing Tennessee's basketball game Saturday instead of Alabama because, man, he just hit every note that I was going to talk about. The main point being with Tennessee, free throws. We shot 10. Auburn shot 30. And I'm not complaining about officiating. I'm complaining about we must be socially distancing ourselves from the paint because we can't drive and score anywhere close to the rim. And that's going to be an incredible problem to overcome in the
And Jamie, as you well know, Auburn did everything they could to get Tennessee back in the game at the end. I mean, they were putting up bricks at the charity stripe. And just daring Tennessee to try to win the game, and Tennessee just said, you know what, that's okay. We'll keep putting you back on the line until you make one.
It seemed to be that absolutely seemed to be the case. I think you're right. Auburn did everything they could to say, come on, guys, let's make it interesting. And Tennessee just wasn't biting. I don't know. Maybe,
they did not want
Coach Pearl, we want to give you six in a row.
I mean, think about that. Bruce Pearl, who got fired at Tennessee. After building what looked like a program heading toward dynasty level, and he has now beaten Rick Barnes six straight times. And this is during a great period of Tennessee basketball. This isn't the downtime.
Yeah, and even going, I mean, you'd have to go all the way back to Bernard King and Ernie Grunfeld to have the kind of talent that they've got on that team right now. And this is not a slight at Coach Barnes at all. I love Rick Barnes. But it just puzzles me because I'm not an X's and O's guy when it comes to basketball. But I can sit there and watch and see these guys playing this inside-out garbage where they drive in about 5 feet and kick it out, and then they keep it out on the perimeter, and then we take a dumb shot. I mean, if we can't get to the rim and we can't out-rebound somebody on the offensive end and get some second-chance points, we're going to be one and done. I don't care if we play in the rec league.
I agree. I totally agree.
We ain't
going to
beat nobody like that. So something's got to change. Something's got to get fixed. And I hope Eve Pons can.
Well, I mean, Rick Barnes is he's got a great track record over his course of history. Jamie, thank you for the call. I just don't know, but I know a lot of. And by the way, grumbling about a team that's going to the NCAA tournament isn't bad, considering Tennessee's record over the years of not being a consistent tournament team. We are heading to a break. Andy Staples a little bit later on. In case you just got in the car or just flipped on the TV at home, I'm sorry you missed Coach Nate Oates. Another fantastic conversation with him just days after celebrating the SEC championship. We are coming back with more of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. It was about 5 years ago or 4 years ago, Tom Herman was the hottest coach in the country. LSU was breathing heavily to try to get his services. Other coaches, other schools were as well. He ended up going to Texas. He got fired, and today it was announced that he will become the offensive analyst and special projects coach of the Chicago Bears. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285, and Caleb is up next. Caleb, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Paul. First of all, just want to say, huge fan of yours. Appreciate
you. Thank you very much.
I am going to kind of go against something I heard you say, but really, I just want to change your mind on it. Recently, you were I think on a radio station in Mississippi, and basically was asked what you felt about the future for 2021 for Mississippi State and Ole Miss football. And you basically said that, you felt like Ole Miss, felt a lot better about Ole Miss. I understand all the reasons why you say that, but I feel like State's kind of, you know, I think because, you know, the Egg Bowl and just recent things, I really feel like, you know, Ole Miss, I mean, media is going to be behind them. Of course, everybody likes Lane Kiffin, but I really feel like State is, at the very least, has just as good of a chance to, you know, to climb up the ladder as Ole Miss right now. They've got Zach Arnett returning. I think defense is going to be a lot better. We've got a good quarterback returning. You know, so I just want to hear what you think about
that. Caleb, the question this morning, it was on WJOX, was between Ole Miss and State, you know, which one would you think has a better chance of a big season next year? And I just simply answered Ole Miss. I can't tell you that I've done, you know, hours upon hours of study. It was a gut reaction, and I understand where you're coming from, and I think you make some really good points. I think it's entirely possible they could break out at State. I just feel a little more confident in Lane Kiffin, but I don't think there is a, you know, there's a compelling argument that's so right or so wrong.
Yeah, I understand. I think that's fair enough. I just one thing that, you know, a lot of State fans like me feel a little bit better about is, you know, we do have the defense coordinator returning, and not that, you know, we had just phenomenal defense this past season, but with what he worked with, you know, a lot of people think he's, you know, an up and coming defensive coordinator. I know LSU, some different places,
right,
you know, tried to talk to him and, you know, possibly get him away from us. So keeping him, I think that was a pretty big win, you know, so.
I think that's fair. And by the way, I don't think State was ever as bad as they looked at times early in the year. I just think it was, you know, Mike Leach's system sometimes takes some getting used to, and I'm not down on them. I was just simply answering a question either or, which, by the way, I hate either or questions because you're always going to, you know, stick your neck out in a place you don't necessarily want it. But thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. And let's check in with Bob, who is in New York. Hey, Bob, you're on the air.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
Bob, we're doing great.
Ah, very good. Hey, I just saw that great interview with Nate Oates. We're up here in Buffalo, and boy, what a classy individual. Alabama's very fortunate to have this guy. Buffalo community loved him and his family, put the UB Bulls on the map. And, you know, he got caught with this great opportunity, and now he's really excelling at it.
And by the way, Bob, I didn't want to push him on it because he just signed a new deal, and it was somewhat inappropriate to say, yeah, but – had he not signed that deal, he would have had a lot of offers at the conclusion of the basketball season. And some of it depends on openings, but there could be some very significant openings after the NCAA basketball tournament.
Well, Paul, you know what? This guy is so humble and has so much class. He's a family-driven guy. Like you said, math teacher from Wisconsin. He's in it for the long haul, so Alabama's very lucky. And being a father of three kids that all went to Texas A&M, if they can't win the whole thing, I'm rooting for Nate Oates, and that's coming from an Aggie father. So,
well, that's great. And by the way, I think it was very smart of Greg Byrne to lock him down, because I'm not going to name the schools because it really doesn't matter, but I can think of four or five schools, and they are major schools that could have an opening either this year or next, and I think he would have been on every one of their lists.
Well, I think he's going to make his future there, and he's going to do it. He's doing a hell of a job. So
he really
knows he can be right there and do it and build it into those other programs and go beyond it. So
well, you be well, Bob, and always good to talk to you. Thank you for the call from New York. How about Alex in Arkansas on this Monday afternoon? Hey, Alex.
Hey, Paul. Matter of fact, last time I called you, I was a freshman in high school, and now I'm finishing up my undergrad at Fayetteville. So
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about how about these Hogs lately. Every athletic team that's in season right now is ranked.
Yeah, baseball number one. Basketball is going up like crazy. And, yeah, we had Coach Musselman on Friday, and I could have Musselman and Oates on every day. They're both so entertaining.
Musselman's a great guy, and, you know, this is one of the first times on campus that it's electric in Fayetteville right now, Paul.
Well, what people don't realize, you understand this, Alex. Well, I mean, you're still young, but that was one of the best basketball schools in the country at a couple of years ago, more than a couple of years ago. But it can easily be again. It may be right now. I'm not on campus. You are. But so what are you studying?
I'm a finance and marketing major.
Sounds good to me.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Well, I'm a huge fan of yours, Paul, and keep doing good work.
Well, Alex, you take care of yourself, enjoy school, and make something out of it, because it's an important time in your life. Appreciate it very, very much. We are heading to a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. A lot more to do on the program, and we're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. Great to have all of you here on a Monday, and Dan is up next. Hey, Dan, thanks. Good afternoon. I don't know about you, but I did not hear Dan there. We'll try Ivan up next. Ivan is in Florida. Hello, Ivan.
Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
It's an exciting weekend in the SEC. There is really a lot going on, a lot of championships handed out. And your friend Alex that called a minute ago should have mentioned the two SEC titles that the Hogs took home in track and field. And Alabama and Texas A&M are celebrating the girls and men's basketball titles.
Right.
And the Florida Gators won a few this weekend, too, and a couple second-place finishes in girls swimming. And the men's swimming won their ninth SEC title in a row.
Really?
And the girls' gymnastics team brought home another regular season title. Those titles for the Gators this weekend were number 248 and 249, which is by far the most in the best conference there is, the SEC. We dominate pretty much everything.
Not that you keep track of that stuff, right?
And softball and what's that?
You know, every time I've been to Florida, I marveled at exactly what you were saying here. And I don't mean to diminish anyone else, but it seemed like the commitment to every line item on the sports calendar is the same down there.
Right, it is, and I'm glad that Arkansas is doing what they're doing. You know, something to be said for. Let's not talk about football so much today. Let's talk about all these other great sports. It's unbelievable what some of these kids are doing on the track. World record times sometimes, and in the pool. Great swimmers, and boy, when the Olympics roll around, we're going to see how the SEC is represented. Go Caleb Dressel.
No, I agree. When I was in college, I lived across the street from the track, and when I became a reporter, I really got into – nobody wanted to cover track. I covered it, and I also covered a lot of swimming and have always had an interest in both, a tremendous interest. So I appreciate you mentioning that. They don't get a lot of coverage here.
People
but
ignore track and field. It is wonderful.
No, it's
when the Olympics roll around, and then finally everybody gets into it a little bit. But, man, look what Grant Holloway did the last couple of weeks, setting world records in the hurdles. And let's just talk about some of these other great kids.
Now, hey, listen, I'm glad you said that. When I was off,
and forget about Josh Heupel for a little while.
Yeah, well, I think that is a – I think everyone would agree with you on that. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Dana is up next.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Dana.
Hey, how's it going?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Well, I'm not going to forget about Josh Heupel.
Okay.
Yes, sir. And so, like, Jeremy Pruitt's approach was discipline. And I think it's a complete turnaround from Jeremy Pruitt.
Really?
What do you think about that?
Well, I am curious why you have deducted that from the Heupel regime, which is barely a month old.
Well, because it's more fun. It's a funner thing. And,
yeah, what did I hear him say that they had like a dodgeball game? Or I can't remember what it was. Yeah.
Yes.
Something
utterly
bizarre.
You know, and I was watching a conference one time. Yes, sir. I was watching a conference one time, and he looked at one of his tailbacks, and his tailback was going to speak, but he looked at him, and his tailback immediately shut up. And, you know, do you think about the fun way or the – You know,
yeah, but Dana, in fairness to Heupel, and I don't know his strategy or philosophy, but you know, things are pretty bad right now. You have to try to win the players over any way you can.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, by the way, the ones that are remaining.
Right. Yeah. So, how do you think this is going to end up, Mr. Feinbaum?
Dana, I don't think there's a roadmap to the end yet, because I don't think anyone really knows what the interim is going to look like. And you know what I'm talking about there. When are these penalties going to be in Tennessee's rearview mirror? When can you go out and try to recruit a player and say, listen, you're playing in bowl games, you're playing for championships, and right now that's a tall order until the school can work this out with the NCAA.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, I appreciate your either or, Mr. Feinbaum.
Well, thank you. But Dana, I don't know what the answer is. I hear from friends of mine in Knoxville, and they go, I mean, you know, we lost this player, we lost that player. That's going to happen. I cannot, nor will I tell you that Josh Heupel will be a success. I don't do that here. I root for coaches. I'm impressed with certain things they do or don't do, or. But there's no way of knowing, and I just think it's ridiculous for somebody to say, well, he's going to be a big hit. I mean, you don't know. He has a lot of things going against him. He's got to do something extra special to overcome that. Ken is up next. Ken, thank you. Good afternoon. Ken, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, good. Great to have you on.
I heard you give the SEC baseball standings a while ago, and. If I'm not mistaken, I was looking at the scores over the weekend, and Auburn had beaten Texas A&M. It showed Auburn ranked 16th, which you didn't mention in those rankings, and I was wondering.
Let me be clear. It's entirely possible in my haste I missed that. I will double check. I was looking at one particular poll, but I'll find that out. And okay, here it is.
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Still here.
Okay,
I'm
well, thinking. Give me a second here. We have the rankings up right now from D1Baseball.com. Arkansas, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Florida is 6. Remember, last week Ole Miss was number 1. LSU is 11th, South Carolina is 14th, and Tennessee is 18th. The top four from the same conference for the first time since 2015. Of course, that was also the SEC. So Auburn is not in this ranking.
Huh. That's strange. It showed them 16th when the game score was over. But
well, remember something. Remember something. I'm assuming did Auburn lose over the weekend at all?
No, they beat Texas A&M.
Okay. I can't explain that.
No, I didn't see them any score where they played, but one game.
Okay, well, this is the new ranking, so that's all I know, but I'll make sure I would not ever want to slight Auburn University. We'll take a short break. More to come right after this.